You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, 12. This is Corbin Smith, your host for Locked On Seahawks. Joining me for our Wednesday episode, my co-host Rob Rang, ramping up preparation for the Seahawks NFC West opener in Arizona against the up-and-coming Cardinals. Going to be playing at State Farm Stadium on Sunday. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. Whether you're in the press box like me or watching with friends and family at home, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Now for your lead story here on Locked On Seahawks. A pretty busy Wednesday for the Seahawks. First big move was one we talked about yesterday that was fully anticipated. Safety Lano Hill is heading to injured reserve, a back injury that, as Carroll has mentioned numerous times, just has not turned the corner. So he's going to be out for at least 3 weeks, potentially longer, given how much he has struggled to get back from this injury. Demarius Randall being promoted from the practice squad to the 53-man roster, former first-round pick out of Arizona State, is a lot of starting experience previously with the Packers and the Browns. And Seattle bringing back a familiar face on the practice squad as well, taking the spot opened up with Randall going to the 53-man roster. Linebacker Michael Kendricks coming back to Seattle. They're going to give him an opportunity to get back into football shape, and he may potentially find himself back on the active roster here in the near future.
Yeah, it was a newsy Wednesday, Corbin. It was a lot of interesting moves made by the Seahawks, a lot of speculation about moves that they might be making. But yeah, as you mentioned, we kind of anticipated that Lano Hill would be moving off to the IR with that troublesome back injury. And, you know, we're obviously wishing him well and hope that he gets back onto the field. It's interesting that the Seahawks promoted Demarius Randall to replace Hill, because Randall does play a different type of position. He has the ability to play that strong safety role that Lano Hill has excelled at, but Demarius Randall also has some experience at the free safety spot, at the nickel corner spot. Seattle is losing some size and physicality here, but they are gaining agility and versatility here with Demarius Randall, and as you mentioned, a former first round pick, so that's exciting as well. And the Seahawks, of course, know exactly what they're getting with Michael Kendricks. The team also signed Ray Armstrong, another very experienced outside linebacker, to their practice squad as well. So that is interesting that Seattle is looking to add all of these linebackers. We've talked before about how we've been a little bit disappointed in the play of Cody Barton, as well as Seattle's 2020 first round pick Jordan Brooks hasn't played up to expectations so far. So I think that the fact that the Seahawks are bringing in two veterans into the practice squad should be basically a knock on the door of their current young linebackers that, hey, we do have some replacements here if the play does not improve. But to me, for all the talk about the players that they did sign, there's going to be a lot more talk about the player that some reports out there at least are indicating that they may be looking to sign in the future.
I just knew this was a conversation that we were going to have to revisit when we got close to the midway point of the season, because in training camp, the NFL dished an 8-game suspension to Antonio Brown, who, as we have known for months, the Seahawks have been consistently linked to him. He and Russell Wilson have a pretty close relationship, and during the offseason, Antonio Brown actually worked out with him and was catching some passes on Wilson's personal practice field, and so that ramped up all the speculation about Brown coming to Seattle. Then the suspension was thrown his way, so nobody has signed him to this point. Now that we are nearing week 8, and he's going to be at the end of that suspension, Adam Schefter coming out today and saying that the Seahawks are expected to make a push for Antonio Brown. Of course, several reporters asked Pete Carroll about this today, and Carroll, in his typical coach-speak fashion, said, we never leave a stone unturned. And so it's all about the competition. He was not going to dive deep into why they were looking at Brown. And he was asked about his checkered past, which is an extremely checkered past. He's gotten in a lot of trouble the last couple years. And I think that the thing that's worth noting here, the Seahawks could absolutely sign Antonio Brown after his suspension is over following week 8. But there is still a pending investigation by the league into one of his other off-field issues. And so it's possible that his suspension may not necessarily be done. He could be slapped with another ban at some point, and we don't know. The NFL is still looking into that. And so that is something to keep in mind. We've talked about this time and time again. There's no doubt Antonio Brown, from a talent perspective, he's as good of a receiver as we've seen in the last 25 years. And in the last decade, second in receptions, second in receiving touchdowns, he's in the top three in receiving yards, four-time first-team All-Pro. He has been one of the best receivers that we have seen. He's got a Hall of Fame resume as it stands, but he has not played since last year. He's been with three different teams over the last year and a half, would last about 5 minutes with the Raiders, and the Patriots had him for one game and then moved on from him as more of his off-field issues came public. And so we've talked about this time and time again. I know he's a big-time talent. If Seattle absolutely needed help at receiver, then maybe it's worth the risk. But is it just me? But you've got three receivers that are average. They're on pace for almost for at least 600 receiving yards in Lockett, Metcalf, and David Moore. I just don't understand why they would even need Antonio Brown at this point.
No, it's a great question, because I would agree with you, Corbin. I don't think that they do need him. But they, as you just mentioned, you basically answered the question yourself. It's just raw talent. Everybody knows what an incredible talent that Antonio Brown is. Maybe not everybody realizes the personal relationship that Antonio Brown has built up with Russell Wilson, as well as Geno Smith. And so I think that those are two of the advocates in Antonio Brown's favor with the Seahawks. And I think that what this says is that the Seahawks, obviously, as we talked about so many times before, are going to pursue any type of talent that they can bring in. And again, if they trust their evaluators, whether that be their own scouts or, in this case, whether it be their quarterbacks. And so I think that this is a story that bears watching. I think there is a possibility that Antonio Brown does wind up in Seattle. I would agree with you as far as the disconcerting nature of this type of a move. When you have a player that has all of the different off-field issues that he has, that you are jumping into a team that has all the talent, the wide receiver that this team has, that you're living during a pandemic in which anytime you bring in any player, it's going to be a concern, especially one who has, kind of the off-field, question marks that Antonio Brown is. Can you trust him? I think there are some of the questions that you might have out there, but at the same time, what a dynamic talent. And I would just caution those Seahawks fans out there, and I hope that we didn't catch some of our listeners, Corbin, who are driving the first time that they heard this Antonio Brown news, because I hope that they're able to drive safe, not pull off to the side of the road when they heard that the Seahawks are again showing some interest in the Mercurio receiver. But at the same time, I think that it is important. If you're going to blast this team for pursuing a player like Antonio Brown, if he does in fact sign, if he does in fact wind up a Seahawk and is catching touchdowns, then make sure you're not one of those two-faced folks who will applaud when Antonio Brown catches a touchdown and blast the team when they're exploring bringing him in the first place.
This is one of those things where generally two-thirds of the fans are against this move. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that it's well-documented what kind of issues that Antonio Brown has had off the field, the sexual abuse allegations against him, what he did in Oakland to drive himself off the Raiders roster, and just the divide that he created with players and coaches. There are so many reasons that you would scream, don't do this. But at the same time, if there's a team that can make this work, Seattle has an incredible leadership group there with Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright. They have the people in place. If there is a team that can make it work, then it is Seattle. I still think it is something they don't need to do. I think they've got plenty of talent at receiver. I don't know all the rationale behind that. I know that this is a very talented football player, and that's why his name continues to crop up. Seattle's always going to look into that. And so it is a story that is worth continuing to follow here the next few weeks, and we'll see if the Seahawks' reported interest ends up being legitimate interest and they end up signing him down the road. Coming up next in the second quarter, we're moving into week 7. Going to start looking at some key matchups to watch when the Seahawks face the Cardinals at State Farm Stadium on Sunday. We're going to start with a Seahawks offense against a much improved Cardinals defense. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, Wednesday edition. This is your host, Corbin Smith, joined by Rob Rang. The Seahawks finally getting their first NFC West matchup in Week 7. They will be traveling down to Glendale to play the Cardinals at State Farm Stadium, a much improved Cardinals team coming in at 4-2. They just blew out the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football. The offense is humming. The defense is playing well. Even without Chandler Jones, who is done for the season, they're continuing to put up really good production each week, limiting opponents. And obviously last week they had Andy Dalton playing quarterback for Dallas behind an offensive line with third and fourth stringers across the board. So you can take it with a grain of salt. The Dallas Cowboys still had their elite receiving core, and the Cardinals were able to hold them down to 10 points on the game. It really was 3 until the final minutes, really shut down the Cowboys' offense. And so let's look Seahawks' offense, the number one scoring offense in the league, against the Cardinals, the number two scoring defense in the NFL. Something's got to give here. I think the first matchup that we have to discuss, Rob, Russell Wilson against the game's best up-and-coming star safety, Buda Baker.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a fascinating matchup. We talked about it before. I'm really hoping that the Seahawks are able to get Jamal Adams back onto the field just so that the fans can kind of compare and contrast these two absolute superstars at the safety position. And of course, there's a lot of Seahawk fans that are also University of Washington or Pac-12 fans who remember Buda Baker so well. Played his high school ball at Bellevue, and so he is a local product. So he's certainly going to have a lot of people who are interested in him, but for those Seahawk fans, they have to be concerned because Buda Baker is a terrific football player. And you talked about it, Corbin, the Arizona Cardinals have the second best defense in terms of points allowed through the first 6 games of the season. We mentioned those 6 games. The Cardinals, of course, are 4-2. And in those 6 games, half of them, they've only allowed a single touchdown. This is a team that you have to be concerned about. I think that they actually have the best secondary, not only in the NFC West. I would argue it's the best secondary in the NFC. And so I think that this is a team that the Seahawks have to be concerned about. I'd argue that their best player, at least on the defensive side of the ball at this point, with Chandler Jones being injured, is Buda Baker. So Baker is a player that has the agility, the speed, the ball skills to be that traditional safety. But again, like Jamal Adams, he's very effective at the line of scrimmage. Has a couple of sacks already this year. He was absolutely phenomenal against Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football. And so this is somebody that Russell Wilson is definitely going to have to try to beat with his eyes, beat with his arm, beat with his legs. And I think this is one of the few defensive backs in the NFL who has a standing chance to being able to give Russell Wilson everything that he wants in this game.
He is that defensive chess piece like Jamal Adams that I don't care who's under center on the other side. You have to know every single play where Buda Baker is at because he showed it on Monday night. He had a blitz where he just obliterated Andy Dalton. Dalton had no clue that he was coming untouched, came in there and sacked him, had a sack the week before. He could have had a second sack the other night. So he's a dangerous pass rusher when he's blitzed. He's really good as a covered safety. He's a good run defender. I mean, the guy can do it all. And so, and people in the Pacific Northwest, this isn't news. He was a star at Washington. He was a star at Bellevue before then. So people in the Pacific Northwest have known for a long time that Buda Baker was a fantastic football player. And now, unfortunately, they had to deal with him twice a year playing against their team, the Seahawks. And there are still plenty of fans out there bitter that Seattle did not draft Baker when they had the opportunity early in the second round. Back in that 2017 draft, they took Malik McDowell instead. So that's the ultimate, in hindsight, man, we should have taken Buda Baker. And he was a player that Pete Carroll said they had a lot of interest in. So Russell Wilson, that is that chess piece you have to know at all times where he is at, because he is a disruptive safety that can single-handedly ruin your game plan. I think this is another game, and we've talked about this a few times recently. The Seahawks have not had to lean in their run game very much. But the last couple times they played in Arizona, they've gotten over 100 rushing yards. Chris Carson last year, Mike Davis the year before, playing against a much better defense. But the Cardinals are in the middle of the pack. They've given up over 700 rushing yards and 4.5 yards per carry. So you can run the football on them. I look at their linebacker group. You've got Chris Carson, hopefully Carlos Hyde back this week, Travis Homer, DJ Dallas. Going against this linebacker group, Jordan Hicks is a very underrated player that always seems to stuff the stat sheet. Hassan Reddick, 2 sacks on Monday, so he's finally starting to come to life. They've been waiting for 4 years for the former first-round pick to do that, but he's starting to play better football. And Devondre Campbell, who they got from the Falcons, they've moved him inside, and he's been playing pretty good football. I still think, though, when you look at the interior defensive line that the Cardinals have and the linebackers that they've got, I still think this is a game where the Seahawks, given the strengths of their offensive line, particularly in the interior with a couple of mauling run blockers at the guard spots, I think that they can win in the trenches and they can run the football on this defense.
I think they can, and I think it's going to be a fascinating matchup here just because I think the Arizona has significantly improved their defense, not only at the secondary, as we talked about before. I'm a real big fan of their secondary, but you just mentioned some of those linebackers. I mean, Jordan Hicks and Campbell in particular are both really playing very well. With Reddick, he basically has taken over that job that Chandler Jones gave up, you know, when he got injured, and so now Hassan Reddick is becoming kind of the Cardinals' featured pass rusher. So if that's what you're concerned about as a Seahawks fan, is how are they going to be able to slow down the Cardinals pass rush? A big part of that is going to be trying to slow down Hassan Reddick. But I agree with you, Corbin. I really think that this is a game where the Seahawks are going to try to control the clock. They know that they have a dynamic quarterback on the opposite side of the ball this time. So it's going to be a wise strategy to try to kind of limit possessions that Arizona can score. I think that you are going to see Seattle try to pound the rock with Chris Carson a lot. I do have some concerns again about defensive line. When I look at that, Corey Peters is not the most immovable object that you've ever seen at the nose tackle position, but Zach Gallen, their starting defensive tackle, who's more of a kind of a five technique defensive end, as well as Jordan Phillips, another big body guy. These are all guys that are 285 to 320 pounds, and then a player that I talked about so much in the pre-draft process, Corbin, Leki Fotu, was another one of those draft picks that the Cardinals got that I think the Seahawks are going to wish that they had invested in. I really think that Arizona's defensive line is a little bit stouter at the point of attack than it has been in the past. That said, as I mentioned before, these 6 games, the Cardinals basically have been the opposite of the Seahawks. Every game it seems like comes down to the wire with the Seahawks. That's not been the case with the Cardinals. They had 2 games that were just a difference of 3 or 4 points. One a win over the 49ers in week 1 and one a loss to Detroit. But other than that, every other one of the 4 games has been double-digit laughers. And so that's usually not what happens for teams that are trying to run the ball. So I would agree with you in the sense that I think that this is a defense that is relatively untested. And if Seattle is able to have some early success running the football, then they might be able to just kind of steal this game away from the Cardinals and control it from the outset with the running game.
You mentioned how much improved this secondary is. The fact that you have Patrick Peterson here, he wasn't serving a suspension at the start of the season. The perennial Pro Bowler's back. Byron Murphy's made big strides in year 2. Dre Kirkpatrick was a really nice free agent addition. If you want to be able to take advantage of that secondary, be able to get some of those downfield plays against this much improved group, then I think you're going to have that run game going to be able to work off of it with your play action. And that's how you are going to take advantage of maybe an over-aggressive Buda Baker or take advantage of the size mismatch with potentially having somebody like a Byron Murphy or even Patrick Peterson up against DK Metcalf. I think you can win downfield there, but this is a game where getting the run going early, being able to run play action off of it is going to be big. I like the matchups on the outside. I still, to this point, have not seen somebody one-on-one that can cover DK Metcalf because of his size and his athleticism. Patrick Peterson on him will be a fascinating matchup nonetheless. Byron Murphy against Tyler Lockett has a lot of potential. Like I said, Murphy's playing much better than he did as a rookie, really coming into his own in year two. And Kirkpatrick has given them some nice plays. He had an interception the other night he should have been called for pass interference on, but that's beside the point. He has been making plays on the football. So I think that this is a matchup. A year ago, we would have been salivating going against the Cardinals secondary. This year, that has not been the case. They are still a unit that has not been tested necessarily when you look at the quarterbacks they've played against. Nonetheless, this is a much improved group. You want to help yourself out to get those receivers those opportunities downfield by making sure that you keep the defense honest with your run game. And like you said, to this point, I don't think teams have really tested them much with the ground game. I think Seattle is going to emphasize that this week.
I think that they will, and I think it's also, you know, bears mentioning that the, just the caliber of quarterbacks that the Cardinals have faced so far. I mean, there's nobody that's even close to playing at the level that Russell Wilson has, with all due respect to Jimmy Garoppolo. But then they faced, besides the 49ers, that first win, then they beat Washington, who is starting Dwayne Haskins at that point, Matt Stafford and Teddy Bridgewater, the starters, of course, in Detroit and Carolina. They beat the Cardinals, and then they beat Sam Darnold and the New York Jets, and then they played, as you mentioned before, Andy Dalton, Dak Prescott, less Cowboys.
And I think Joe Flacco played for the Jets that game, if I remember correctly.
Oh, and you're correct. And so the point being, though, still, that they just have not faced a quarterback who has played as hot as well as Russell Wilson has. But that's the thing, is that's the way Russell Wilson was playing. Who knows how he's going to perform a week after that bye, if they are going to be able to keep up that momentum. And you mentioned the possibility of just matching up the Patrick Peterson versus DK Metcalf. I would agree with you, Corbin. I don't know if there's a cornerback in the league, maybe ever, who can just match up from a size, speed, strength standpoint with DK Metcalf. But if there is, then Patrick Peterson might be that guy. And I've lived a charmed life from a football perspective. I've had an opportunity to go see a lot of football players and all that, but there are very few one-on-one matchups that I'd be willing to put my money on the line to just to watch it. And this is one of them. Patrick Peterson lined up against DK Metcalf. I am all in on that matchup. And you mentioned Byron Murphy. You mentioned Drake Kirkpatrick. Again, I think that the Cardinals have an absolutely phenomenal secondary. I know that they only have 3 interceptions, so there's a lot of stats. Guys out there who are going to say that this secondary isn't that good. We'll see. I think that this is going to wind up being a terrific matchup. I think the Cardinals are the biggest contender in the NFC West to push Seattle. I don't think it's the Rams. I don't think it's the 49ers. I think it's this team. And a huge reason why is because of the improvements that Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator for Arizona, has made on that particular side of the ball for this team.
This is going to be a big litmus test for that secondary, though, because as you mentioned, they have not played very many elite. They actually haven't played any elite quarterbacks. I don't know that Matt Stafford is in that category at this point. They haven't played very many good starting quarterbacks. They had to play against Joe Flacco, and then Washington, we know their quarterback situation has been an absolute mess. So as well as that secondary has played, and I'm with you, I think they are a much improved group, but this is that litmus test. Are you going to be able to slow down the highest scoring offense in the NFL coming off a bye week? And there is the potential, we don't know if this is going to happen the next day or two or not, there is the potential that Philip Dorsett maybe could be back for this game too. Pete Carroll sounds like he is very close. Maybe they'll hold him out for one more week, but there is the possibility of that. I just think with the weapons they have, again, this is as tough of a test as the Cardinals could possibly ask for, but they are much improved back there, so that's going to make this a really fun back-and-forth matchup to watch with Metcalf and company going up against Peterson, Murphy, and Kirkpatrick. When we come back in the third quarter, we're going to switch gears. The Cardinals offense going up against the Seahawks defense here in this Week 7 battle at State Farm Stadium. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As an avid weightlifter and distance runner, I'm always looking for an edge when it comes to nutrition, seeking delicious, healthy protein bars without the crazy additives. Since being diagnosed with celiac disease, my options have been pretty limited. Until now. Enter in the Built Bar, a low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, gluten-free protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Built Bar now comes in 18 mouth-watering flavors, including 6 new delicious flavors such as caramel brownie and cookies and cream. My all-time favorite is peanut butter brownie, which is 20 grams of protein, just 3 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of net carbs. Since I had my first Built Bar, I never go without one when I hit the weight room or go for a jog. All Built Bars are 100% chocolate, nut and gluten-free, soft and easy to chew, and don't have the nasty aftertaste of competing protein bars. Sound too good to be true? Go to BuiltBar.com and build your own custom box with your choice of flavors using the code LOCKEDON for $10 off. You will also receive a free cooler with your first purchase while supplies last. So what are you waiting for? Change your workout game by going to BuiltBar.com and entering code LOCKEDON for $10 off. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo. Or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or sorry honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it. With a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Just go to GetRoman.com/XXX to connect with a healthcare professional for an online visit and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, Wednesday edition. I'm your host, Corbin Smith. Joining me as always, my co-host, Rob Rang. Cardinals and Seahawks getting ready to face off in Glendale on Sunday, the Seahawks' first NFC West game of the season. They have four of them coming up in the next 5 weeks. So if you've been upset about having no divisional games, well, that taste, that desire is going to be fulfilled here over the next month. The toughest division in football, the Seahawks are going to be playing against a number of talented football teams, starting with this road game against the Cardinals. Now, this is an offense that has had a couple of games this year where they've been a little bit off. They lost to the Detroit Lions and the Carolina Panthers, and the offense didn't play as well in those games. But we saw how electric they looked against Dallas the other night. Granted, everyone has looked electric against the Cowboys defense this year. I think Pee Wee League teams probably would put up 30 plus on the scoreboard. Nonetheless, this is a high-powered Cardinals offense with a lot of weapons in both the receiving and the run game. Everything starts, though, with Kyler Murray's ability not just to beat you as a passer, but as a runner. We saw him escape on a couple of those naked boot plays against Dallas. One of them he took in for 6 points. He's as electric as you're going to find in the NFL as a rushing quarterback. He's in that rare class with Lamar Jackson. He can just destroy defenses with his legs. This is a game where it is going to be pivotal for the Seahawks linebackers, and I've got Jamal Adams with a question mark here because I think having Jamal Adams back this week would be huge going against a quarterback like Kyler Murray. You could put him in a spiral against Murray, but we don't know if Adams is going to be there. That puts more pressure potentially on Jordan Brooks or even Shaquem Griffin in this game. We might see a lot of Shaquem Griffin if Jamal Adams can't play, to play that spy role so that you have a guy out there with sub 4.4 speed to defend against Kyler Murray as a runner.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how Seattle is going to try and slow down Kyler Murray. I mean, because the guy is just absolutely dynamite with the ball in his hands. And as you mentioned, I mean, he is every bit as dangerous as a runner as he is as a passer. He doesn't have the same spatial awareness that Russell Wilson has. I don't know if there's any quarterback who just, it almost feels like he has eyes in the back of his head the way that Russell Wilson does. But in terms of lateral agility and acceleration, I mean, trying to tackle Kyler Murray is like trying to tackle smoke. I mean, it just wisps away from you. And so he really is a remarkable athlete. So I would agree. If the Seahawks are able to get Jamal Adams back onto the field, then that would be huge because I think that he can play that spy role. He can rush off the edge. Give Kyler Murray, obviously only in his second season as an NFL quarterback, but only in his third season as a starting quarterback at a high level after playing a lot of baseball during his college career, of course. So I think that you can use his relative inexperience against him. This is a quarterback that obviously leads the Cardinals in passing touchdowns with 10, but he also has 6 interceptions already. He also leads the team, by the way, with 6 rushing touchdowns. So 16 touchdowns in 6 games starts to give you a feel for just what a dynamic weapon that he is. So let's just assume for a moment that Jamal Adams is not there. Then I think that this is going to be a game where it's going to be kind of be on bottom Bobby Wagner to be able to kind of play that spy role at times. And I think it's going to be really key for the Seattle's defensive line to be able to kind of stay, stay within their technique and make sure that they remain disciplined, because I think you are going to see some read option. You are going to see some of those run pass options. You are going to see Kyler Murray take advantage of his ability to do multiple things with the football. That's going to get whoever that spy is for the Seahawks is going to get them in trouble at times as well.
This is one of those games where you have to be so careful with how aggressive you are, especially if you're rushing from the defensive end position. You have to be cautious how much you get upfield, because you create those run lanes for Kyler Murray. He is going to tuck it and he's going to run and he's going to make dudes miss. He's like a pinball out there. And so this is a game where it's crazy saying this, because we've been talking about how much more they need from their edge rushers, but this is a game where you got to be really careful. And I'm not saying they can't sack him. They got 4 sacks against him last season, but you just have to be more cautious in your approach getting upfield. The same goes for defensive tackles. You obviously want to be able to push that pocket a little bit, especially with him being a shorter quarterback, but you don't want to create those running lanes where he can tuck and go. And so that's going to be a big key in this game. You got to make sure you have plenty of speed at the second level. Again, I think Shaquem Griffin could factor in, especially if Jamal Adams doesn't dress for this game. I think Shaquem Griffin, we saw what they did with him against the Cowboys. I could see them doing something similar some of the time. He's not going to be playing every snap, but I could see him getting extensive playing time in this game just because he has speed that you don't have from anybody else at that linebacker position. And of course, moving away from Kyler Murray, the people he's going to be throwing the football to, DeAndre Hopkins. Seahawks fans everywhere were devastated when they saw that Bill O'Brien basically traded him for a sack of peanuts to the Arizona Cardinals, and now he is dominating, putting up monster numbers as expected. You've still got Larry Fitzgerald there, 37 years old, still a very good receiver, a matchup problem working out of the slot. And then Christian Kirk, if there's a person that's benefited from Hopkins being around, it's definitely been Christian Kirk. We saw him catch that 60-plus yard touchdown reception from Murray on Monday night against the Cowboys. He has over 200 receiving yards, really coming into his own in his third season. This is going to be another really tough matchup for Seattle's corners in Quentin Dunbar, Shaquem Griffin, and if Trey Flowers is out there, whoever's out there, they are going to have these tough matchups with Hopkins, Kirk, as well as Larry Fitzgerald. That's going to be a tough matchup for Ugo Amadi in the slot with his size and his veteran savvy.
Exactly. It very much is. I mean, anytime that we just say, oh, by the way, with a future Hall of Famer like Larry Fitzgerald, that's danger, because we know what number 11 has done to the Seahawks all these years. Just a terrific football player. But you're absolutely right, Corbin. The player at this receiver position to start off the conversation with is certainly DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, he has more than twice as many receptions as anybody else on the team, more than twice as many targets, almost three times as many yards. And I'm happy that you mentioned Christian Kirk, because he actually leads the Cardinals with 3 touchdown receptions so far. But again, DeAndre Hopkins is the one. He's got 47 catches so far for 601 yards. So literally averaging 100 yards per game thus far. 2 touchdowns on the season. I would expect that the Seahawks are going to pretty much line up Shaquem Griffin against him, because Shaquem Griffin is the quickest, the best just man-to-man cover corner that the Seahawks have. At the same time, one of the things that makes Hopkins so special is he has incredible ball skills. He has incredible body control. He is one of those guys who's really, really good at basically being able to body up defensive backs and still be able to make the catch. So I wouldn't be surprised if Seattle does try to, to use some of their bigger corners. So whether that be Trey Flowers, or whoever it may wind up being, it's going to be interesting to see what they do at that spot. If it's going to be Dunbar, if it's going to be Flowers, maybe even moving Ryan Neal around a little bit just because of how well that he has played so far. But, and then finally with Christian Kirk, he's a guy that is scary. Because he is the one who's a little bit more like David Moore, if we were going to compare him to Seattle's receivers. Or maybe
you can run the ball with him.
Yeah, exactly. He's a bigger body guy. He's a guy that usually if you tackle him, he has an ability to kind of bounce off of that, has some lateral agility. So he's a scary player as well. And then finally, the last guy I would mention is Andy Isabella. He's a little guy, but he is a guy who can absolutely fly. And so for the same reasons why Seahawks fans should be excited about the possibility of getting Philip Dorsett back onto the field and stretching Arizona's defense out wide, same thing here with the Cardinals. Andy Isabella is a legitimate 4-3 guy who has return skills as well. And so he is somebody that if you're focusing too much attention on Larry Fitzgerald, DeAndre Hopkins, and Christian Kirk's, then this is Andy Isabella is the guy that can go over the top. And he has a knack for having some of his biggest games against his toughest competitions.
Yeah, I remember he did that at UMass. He always seemed to step up, and then his Senior Bowl performance as well. So hasn't put up big numbers for the Cardinals since they drafted him, but certainly a guy that can take the top off of a defense. They've got tons of weapons on the outside. The one thing that Kyler Murray has done this year some is he has tried to lean on DeAndre Hopkins so much that he has forced the issue at times, and that's one of the reasons he's got 6 interceptions, as he's really tried to force the football to his top receiver at times. And so that might be something to watch in this game. If the Seahawks can bait him into some throws, that's really tough to do, but certainly if you can put yourself in a position where you have some extra help maybe over the top or something, you can force Kyler Murray into some of those type of throws. But nonetheless, he's got a ton of weapons on the outside. And the way the Seahawks corners have played so far this year, not exactly an ideal matchup when you look at the talent that the Cardinals have on the outside. Last matchup that I want to highlight here, I've talked about this a number of times with the Cardinals. Yes, they run an air raid offense under Cliff Kingsbury, but really the teams, they have turned the corner in terms of winning games. They've won 6 of their last 9 going back to the 2019 season. I think a big part of that has been that the offense has found a running game. They were trying so hard to run their 5 wide sets and really air it out all over the field the first half of the season last year, and it wasn't working. And once the Cardinals started to embrace the run game more, and they traded for Kenyon Drake, got him from the Dolphins for a 7th-round pick, Drake started this year slow, but he had 160-plus rushing yards on Monday against the Cowboys. Chase Edmonds has done some nice things for them out of the backfield as well. This is a game where I'm actually going to highlight Seattle's defensive ends in the run game, not just because they have to worry about the read option stuff with Kyler Murray, but the Cardinals, with their scheme, they are going to run a lot of outside zone. They're going to try to get the football moving horizontally a little bit. This is not a downhill run game necessarily, which is why David Johnson wasn't fitting in this system last year. But they've got 2 running backs now that absolutely can fit it in Drake and Edmonds. And if your defensive ends don't do their job and they don't maintain their run fits, we saw what happened last year when Kenyon Drake went for an 80-yard touchdown in that rematch. The Cardinals won in CenturyLink Field in Week 16. Rasheem Green lost his run fit there. Big opening, and bam, Kenyon Drake is gone. You can't do that this weekend, or the Cardinals are going to carve you up in the ground, and that just opens up that passing game even more.
Yeah, I'm happy that you mentioned the Kenyon Drake and the 80-yard touchdown a year ago, last time these two teams played. Of course, the first game, as we talked about yesterday, the Cardinals didn't have Kenyon Drake yet. And so their offense changed dramatically once they added the former Alabama star. And to me, this is an interesting game from the running back perspective for the Seahawks and trying to match up against the Cardinals, because we've talked about this in the past with the Seahawks, how they kind of do like a little bit of a rope-a-dope, and they'll kind of, you know, lead you astray a little bit. I think that the Cardinals are basically hiding Kenyon Drake as a receiver. Drake was a terrific receiver early in his NFL career at Miami, as well as in Houston, and then as well as at Alabama. And so far, the Cardinals have basically only been featuring Chase Edmonds as their receiving running back. And Edmonds is a terrific football player, but so is Kenyon Drake. And I think that you can get lulled into this false sense of security that if you see Drake on the field, then it's just going to be a run. And that is something that I think that the Seahawks, their linebackers, the defensive linemen, as you mentioned, Corbin, and even their defensive backs, I think are going to have to be very, very aware of Arizona's running backs out of the backfield, not just in the running game, but as receivers. And so, I'm happy that you mentioned Seattle's defensive linemen, because anytime you're dealing with a shorter quarterback like Kyler Murray, who's going to be throwing a lot of very, very quick passes, then it's absolutely incumbent for those defensive linemen to get their hands up in the air and to be able to knock some of these passes down, maybe be able to tip some of these passes up for interceptions. As we talked about yesterday, Benson Mayoya currently leads the Seahawks defensive linemen with 3 pass deflections. LJ Collier has the only other one. I would not be surprised at all if the Seahawks are asking their defensive linemen in this particular game to not so much worry about trying to get to the quarterback, but making sure that they kind of pen him in and so he can't run around too much, and then get your hands up and try and tip some of those passes. Because I agree with you. If you can make the Cardinals one-dimensional, you're going to beat them. If you cannot, if the Arizona's running game is very effective, and not just the running backs, but Kyler Murray running the ball as well, then the Arizona Cardinals have a chance to beat the Seahawks and absolutely make the NFC West a very, very competitive division.
Make sure to follow me on Twitter at CorbinSmithNFL. You can follow Rob at Rob Rang. Subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, whatever your preferred podcast platform is, by going to our website, LockedOnSeahawks.com. Coming up on tomorrow's show, I'm going to be joined by the Locked On Cardinals crew. We're going to be breaking down Seahawks versus Cardinals on our latest Crossover Thursday special. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Go Hawks.